Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. So, parables. How many of you have seen the movie Sleepless in Seattle? We've got a few. There's a scene in that movie where Tom Hanks comes in and his son and the girl next door are sitting listening to records. Yes, the movie's that old. And his son says to him, "Hey, Dad, this is so cool. If you play it backwards, it says Paul is dead." Now, who here knows what he was talking about? Yeah, a few of the older people here. When I was a child, when I was very young, there was a rumour going around that Paul McCartney had died and been replaced by a lookalike. And there were supposed to be clues about this all through the Beatles albums. I should have asked, does anyone not know who Paul McCartney is? Okay, we do. Now, I asked Simone about this before. She's seen the movie plenty of times, but she didn't know what that was referring to. It's one of these cultural things that if you grew up around that time, you probably knew about it. I grew up a little bit later, but I'd read plenty about it, and I knew what he was talking about. In a similar vein, if I ask you, do you remember where you were or what you were doing when John Lennon died? That was back in 1980, and for a lot of people, that's one of those moments they remember. If these aren't things that you connect to, then you're probably wondering where I'm going with this. The thing is that the parables that Jesus told are very much centred in his culture. And a lot of the stories he told had elements in them that we look at and go, oh yeah, but we don't really get what was happening, what he was referring to. And we particularly don't get the emotional reaction that his listeners would have had. In Luke 11, Jesus was teaching on prayer and he said, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. Well, we probably get the initial impact there, going at midnight and knocking on someone's door and asking for bread. Sounds a bit ridiculous, sounds a bit rude. But there's another thing going on that the listeners would have been a bit tormented about. Because hospitality in that culture was very central, it was very important. If you had a guest turn up, you put a feast on. And you invited your neighbours and friends to contribute to that feast. And on top of that, bread was a blessing. If you were asked to provide bread for that feast, you were being greatly honoured. So we have the rude awakening in the middle of the night and the great honour of being asked to provide bread. That's the contrast that Jesus is putting in and getting an emotional reaction from the people listening. Parables are stories with a moral punchline. Jesus gets people involved and then he hits them with the point that he has to say. The cultural angle really gets them in, gets them emotionally involved. And so they respond, hopefully, the way he's aiming for. I'm pretty sure we all know the story of the prodigal son. Most people know that pretty well. It gets talked about a lot. And so Jesus tells a story about a man with 2 sons and the younger son asks for his inheritance. Now we know this story. If you were hearing it for the first time, if you lived in that culture and you have a younger son coming and asks for his inheritance, you would have been shocked. You would have been horrified. And you would have waited with bated breath. What's the father going to do? Is he going to cast him out? But he doesn't. He sells his goods and gives the inheritance. And you're more shocked. And so the son goes off, wastes his money, comes on hard times, comes back. And the father runs to greet him. Who's shocked by that? They would have been. Because the father in the story wouldn't have done something like that. That was shocking. And if you're someone who's clicked that Jesus is referring to the Father in the place of God, the Father is... The idea that God would so humiliate himself would have almost offended people. So we have a story that's getting a very emotional reaction out of people. And then we have the response. Are you relating to people in the parable? Are you relating to that younger son, someone who's gone astray and wants to come back, doesn't really think they're worthy, and then sees the younger son being received with grace, with forgiveness? Or perhaps you relate to the older son. Jesus told this parable because the Pharisees were telling him off for hanging around with sinners all the time. And so in the story he has an older son who's resentful. This younger son doesn't deserve all the treatment he's been getting. I've been good all this time. I'm the one who should be valued by the Father. Perhaps some in the crowd related to the older son as well. And then there's a response. Having heard how the father treats the younger son particularly, do you respond and say, I would like that forgiveness and grace. I would like to be able to come back to the father. Or perhaps, if you're the older son, do you understand the rebuke? Do you realise you need to change your relationship with God? So Jesus is teaching with parables. He's connecting emotionally with people and he's getting some response out of them. And then he tells this parable about the soils that we've just heard. And he does it in such a way to get the disciples to respond in a particular way. The parable is not particularly cultural. It would have been very common for them. Someone goes out onto a field, casts out the seed, and the seed grows. And depending on the condition of the soil, it might grow well or it might not grow at all. We don't really have any problems understanding it either. All you need is a basic understanding of agriculture. Many of the parables Jesus told were outrageous, exaggeration. They got people upset, angry even. Not this one, it's not outrageous at all. In fact, it's pretty straightforward. The disciples look at it and they just don't understand, which was actually Jesus' intention. So they come to him and they say, why do you speak to the people in parables? They don't get it. They're not sure why he's going on. But the point with this one is that Jesus wants to explain to them why he's teaching in parables, what he's doing. And it's a parable for the disciples. It's a parable for us. Jesus is the sower. He's planting the seed and the people are responding. And the disciples need to know about the sort of responses they're going to get. We do too. So what's the main point? Well, the first thing that Jesus wants to get across to them is they're going to fail. Even he fails. Think about that. Not everyone who hears will respond positively. And not everyone who responds will continue on. It was true for Jesus, and it's true for us. Jesus came as the Son of God. No one had ever taught like him. No one did miracles like he did. The crowds came from everywhere. They're almost always attracted to him. They wanted to hear what he was saying. They wanted to see what he was doing. But not everyone chose to follow him. A lot of those who started to follow him didn't stay. And it was going to be the same for the disciples. So Jesus is preparing them, encouraging them. He talks about the path, the hard path where the seed falls and the birds come and take it away. There are people with hard hearts. They hear with a word, but their hearts have been trampled flat. They can't respond. Even if they understand in theory what Jesus is saying to them, they won't take it into their hearts and it's lost to them. And we have that quote from Isaiah, though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear or understand. And so we get that passage right in the middle there before Jesus explains the parable where he talks about people's hearts, how hard they are, how they're not seeing, how they're not repenting. They've been beaten down, they've allowed themselves to be beaten down, and they're not hearing what Jesus has to say. And Jesus is very careful. He doesn't force anyone to believe in him. He doesn't force people to follow him. He even goes out of his way to make sure that people have an out, a way to reject him. And so he allows that to happen. And the parables are a mechanism to do this. They're a great way to teach people. People will get the message. But they're also a great excuse, because you can say, well, Jesus told a confusing story. I think I got the message, but I'm not really interested. I'm not going to follow that. Very easy way to turn aside and get out of it. So Jesus is encouraging the disciples. He wants them to know the people are not necessarily going to respond well when they go out to spread the message. And so we shouldn't be discouraged when people don't want to listen, or when they hear our message but reject it. It happened to Jesus. How can we expect a better response? It's important to understand that picture of the sower just sowing across all the soils. You often couldn't tell the condition of the soil. You might see the path, but you don't know if there's rocks or weeds under the soil. If we're praying for people to come to know Jesus, if we're praying for people to hear the message, we need to pray that they will be good soil. We need to ask God to break hearts, to soften them so that they can hear that message. We need them to ask them to remove the rocks, remove the weeds. Has anyone ever told you a joke and you just didn't get it, and then a bit later it clicked and suddenly you're there laughing for no apparent reason? Perhaps you've seen someone else do it. Well, I describe the parables as a story of the moral punchline. A lot of the time the people got it, but I suspect a lot of the time they went off and they thought about it and a bit later it clicked. And I'm pretty sure with this one the disciples would have been thinking about it afterwards. There are a couple of additional lessons that Jesus is trying to convey here. One is that we need to put down roots. In verse 5 he said this: some of the seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched, they withered because they had no root. And when he explains this, he talks about as someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. You may know people like that. They received the word with great joy, very enthusiastic, but troubles come along and they're very easily discouraged. We need to be careful to put down deep roots to build our faith. We should be becoming disciples, and we need to be making disciples, working to others to encourage them to put down those deep roots so that in times of trouble we have a deep faith. Home groups are a great place for this. Our home group is a place that's safe to share. Members in our group have been able to share some things that have gone on in their lives. Some things where they might have felt that they would have been judged. But we don't judge them. We love them. We accept them. And we learn about how you get through times of trouble and maintain and grow your faith. We need to be very careful we're not teaching people that when you become a Christian, everything's easy. Everything goes smoothly. All your troubles go away. It's not true. It's not what Jesus taught. The other thing we need to do is pull out those thorns. Jesus said, other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants. When he explains that, he's talking about someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and make it unfruitful. So note, in this case, it's not causing the person to fall away, but their life is unfruitful. We need to be able to put the worries of this life in perspective, have an eternal view, understand where we're going. We need to be content with what we have and not be chasing after riches and wealth. That takes us away from working for the kingdom. I've been asked about superannuation a couple of times. Should we be saving for super? This thing about not being chasing after wealth, not letting it get in the way, doesn't mean we don't manage our finances carefully. Doesn't mean we don't save for retirement. In fact, retirements are great because you suddenly have a lot of free time where you can work more for the kingdom. And if you've prepared for yourself, you'll be able to work more effectively for the kingdom. So how many have we got here who are retired? Who found that they've got more that they can do in retirement than they were doing before? We get some nods there. There is a final encouragement there in the parable too. The seed that falls into the good soil grows and produces fruit 30, 60, 100 times. And note that the seed and soil aren't doing anything particularly difficult or special. They're just doing what comes naturally. The soil is there, it's good soil, and the seed grows. If you've heard and understood, if you've put down roots in your faith, if you're keeping the weeds and thorns out of your life, if you're living your life as Jesus desired, loving God, loving one another, loving your neighbour, if you're being a witness, a living sacrifice, if you're living the way Jesus asked us to live, then the fruit will come naturally of the way you interact with people, the way you witness through deed and word. It's not something we have to work hard at. It's just something we have to do. And that seed will grow. So this parable, Jesus wanted the disciples to come to ask for explanation. He wanted to explain why he made it sometimes so difficult for people to understand. But why he was using these mechanisms to really push a point home to people. To encourage us as we witness and to encourage us in our walk. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement of the parables and we thank you particularly for the encouragement of this parable today. Firstly, we pray that we would be good soil and that your seed in our life would produce great fruit. But we pray too for the people we know, the people that we've been loving and witnessing to, the people we've been praying for. We ask that you would be breaking up hard hearts, taking out the rocks, taking out the weeds, and allowing your seed to grow in their hearts as well. And help us not to be discouraged, knowing that not everyone will respond the way we would want, but to take heart from everyone who does. And to encourage one another as we walk together in this Christian life. In Jesus' name. Amen.